Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The Winter Olympics draw to a close today. And for those athletes, another 4 years to prepare. Some win gold and others retire from professional athletics. Others are just thankful for having a chance at glory before the eyes of the whole world. Right now, they've got to be asking themselves, especially those that go up there on the platform to receive a medal, what am I doing here? What an honor to be here in front of the whole world and be recognized like this. And they've also got to be asking, especially those that are retiring, now what am I going to do with the rest of my life? Made it to this great vantage point. I've reached this goal. What's next? I know the skaters, you say, they all go on tour for 4 years, don't they? But I wonder, what do ice curlers do between Olympics? And those people riding those luges, I suppose there might be some openings in NASCAR, but it doesn't look as dangerous as riding down an ice track. And I suppose the Illinois basketball seniors have to be asking that question too. What do I do next? Today we think of Jesus on the mountain for a brief moment with his disciples, Peter, James, and John. And there before them, Jesus begins to shine like the sun, shine with glory that they've never seen before. And then, two other people show up with him, Moses and Elijah. They've been dead for 500 to 1,000 years. But here they are on the mountain, and the disciples see them, and they recognize who they are somehow. They've got to be asking in their minds, what on earth are these guys doing here now? They belong in heaven with the Lord. They'd stood the test. They led God's people. They preached the word. They'd faced persecution. Their reward is in heaven. And here they are down on earth. Why? Not ghosts. Not spirits wandering through the world, but they are sent here with a purpose, Moses and Elijah, and their purpose was to testify to who this man was, their friend, their rabbi, their teacher, this Jesus. He's the one. Moses and Elijah had prophesied about him, that he was the long-awaited one. He was the promised one. He was the one who would be the sacrifice that was long foretold. Not merely a man, but the fullness of God wrapped up in the body of a man. Inconceivable, isn't it? They must have thought. He really is God. Look at him shine, bright like the sun. It's a wonder he didn't burst forth with that divine majesty all of the time. But no, it was hidden, hidden in the body of Jesus and available to see only at certain moments. And they saw it. Here he is, Jesus, the Son of Mary, true God. You know, at that alone, they must have wondered, what on earth is he doing here? He's God. And this is a sinful world, corrupted. Why is he down here? All of this glory shining, but why come down to this wretched world with its corrupt ways, with its Pharisees and Sadducees, with its Roman soldiers, and with us, the sweaty fishermen? What on earth is he doing here? Surely the joys of heaven make our dark world look like the deepest, darkest dungeon. What is a God like you, Jesus, doing in a place like this? Well, Moses knows. He saw the glory of God on the mountain way back 1,000 years before. fact, from that day on, when he was up on the mountain with the Lord, he had to wear a veil. The epistle says, covering his face because it scared people. The glory of the Lord shined out on him and illuminated him for the rest of his life. Elijah knows. He saw the angels come in the fiery chariot. And then that whirlwind swept him up into the kingdom of heaven, into that light, into that glory, which Jesus was now bringing back to earth. They'd seen the glory before, and they spoke with Jesus about his mission here on earth. We may not feel very exalted and glorified in our daily lives. We go through each day working, sleeping, eating, trying to enjoy ourselves, trying to live our lives. But the glory of that day was for us. You see, Jesus came down for you. Your life is what brought glory to Jesus Christ. He knew you would need him. He knew you would need a Savior. And so he came, he packed up all that glory, and he hid it in his human body. And he came and suffered and died for you. You needed that. Something you couldn't do for yourself and no one else could do for you. Someone who would take your place under the judgment of God. Someone who would substitute his perfect life for your sinful one. That's love. And that's Jesus. The voice from heaven answers the question of why Jesus was here. Remember what it said? This is my beloved Son, whom I love. Listen to him. I'm so pleased with him. And he's here because he has his Father's approval. He's giving that to you there on the mountain that day. And he's giving it to you this morning. He's the perfect substitute for you to stand under the wrath of God and take that all away. And so for just a few moments there on the mountain, all of that glory, all of that purpose, that mission shines forth from him. And those three disciples alone are the ones that can see it. Beautiful Savior, isn't he? It only lasts a few moments. The beauty is later eclipsed by the later events of his life, his main purpose. The beauty is packed up and put away at the cross, where only the ugliness of sin is visible. And there, loaded with our sin and guilt, he died. But then the glory was back 3 days later as he rose from the dead, resurrected. That's his purpose. That's why he's here. It's all for you. His glory was to be your God and your Savior. What about you? What on earth are you here for? What are you to do in this world with your life? Why are you here in church today? It's a good place to start. Ask ourselves that question. Have you come today, honestly, because it's expected of you? Because that's what your family does? I suppose a lot of the kids might say that's true. They didn't have a choice to come today. Or perhaps it's your habit to be here on Sunday morning. Makes you feel good for the rest of the day or the week? Or perhaps are you looking for something? Do you have a hunch that there's more to life than working and trying to gain things and have a good time? Are you looking for a family of people that find glory in something more than what we can accomplish here in our brief time on earth? If so, then blessed are you. For Jesus is with us here today in this place. And his glory is here as well. Jesus is here this morning and he is sharing his glory with each and every one of us. It's true. those who will receive it. He is with us as he moves among us, as he speaks to us, as he did his own disciples 2,000 years ago, moving and encouraging us. If you have received the gift of faith in Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit's working, then Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have been saved and you will join him when he comes again and brings his full glory, visible to all, to earth once again. Won't that be the day, my friends, when the glory that's kept hidden in the church and in the word and in the sacraments is fully revealed and all can see it? By faith, you have a part of that, and that glory is shared with you. Oh, yes, now we fight and struggle in this valley of sorrow that we're in. We deal with the temptation. We deal with the guilt. But we look to our Savior. His glory will shine down upon us like it did Peter, James, and John. But for now, what are you here for? You know, so many people I go to see can't come to church anymore, so I go out and bring them the Word and Lord's Supper as often as I can. And there's one lady, she always tells me, "Pastor, I'm going to get back to church. As soon as I can get out of this bed, I'm going to get back there. I'm going to be with my friends at St. John. You're going to see me in the pew again." And I say, "Yes, I expect to." You know, you don't appreciate something so much until it's taken away from you. But even there in the nursing home, the glory of God is hidden, isn't it? Wherever we gather around God's word, believing his promises, receiving his gifts, his forgiveness and his love flow to us, and the glory is there. What a privilege God gives us to gather here, my friends, together in the glory that shines forth from God's word and sacraments. His word is precious, so precious to us. Every word, every sentence is a gift, is a treasure, is a vault full of good things, ready to be unlocked and passed out to us. His word gives us life here in the world. It gives us that life that never ends. His word gives purpose for us to be his holy people. And that's what he's made us, each and every one of us. You know, friends, that's a big reason why God keeps us here in the world, isn't it? He's already worked our salvation. He's already done that on the cross, accomplished everything. We can't add to it what's been done for us. And then by faith, he's given us the key to that. And it's been delivered to us. So we're ready for heaven. If we have faith in Jesus and not in ourselves and what we can do, but in what he's done for us, we're ready for the kingdom of heaven. But he's got purposes for us here in life. That's a reason God keeps us here, to share God's vision with the people around us. You know, Jesus had to tell Peter, James, and John, "Don't tell this to anybody else right now. The world's not ready to know who I really am." But they will know at the right time. But I bet that burned within them. They wanted to tell the other disciples, "Hey, you should have been with us and seen Jesus glow with that divine goodness. He really is God." But now's the time to tell. Now's the time to lead. Now's the time to guide our loved ones, our friends, our co-workers, those who want to see the glory of God in the world. Where is it? We bring them here. Here to God's word. What on earth are you doing here? We are pointing the way to Jesus. Only to Jesus. Ever to Jesus. Our Lord of glory. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts to life everlasting. Amen.